Chapter 71. Torah Ayin Aleph in Likutei Moran Tanina. This Torah is known as the Torah of Chavolim Nofluli Baneimim. If you look on the next page in our Likutei Morans, page 75, on top, in the middle of the page, you see Ayin Aleph, Chavolim Nofluli Baneimim. It's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. And Rabbi Nizal is going to be discussing this subject of chavolim or chavlim and ne'imim or noyam. And it's going to be a discussion about Eretz Yisrael versus outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a discussion of different types of tzaddikim. It's going to cover a whole range of subjects. And this chapter on Likutei Halachos has some very, very spectacular chapters explaining it and expounding on it, etc. Everybody try to pay very, very close attention, listen very carefully, because Rabbi Nizal's words are golden. Every word here is very, very precious. And hopefully, once we complete the whole chapter and we go back and either do Likutei Halachos on it or other items, hopefully all of it is going to come together much more. You'll be able to understand much more. Usually, when it comes to learning just about any Hebrew Sefer, and especially Rabbi Nizal's teachings, it pays first to listen to the whole picture, to get the total picture, beginning to end, and then you start breaking it down and looking it over more carefully, looking for details. In the beginning, you're not trying to understand every single word from the first paragraph that you're learning. You do one paragraph, a second paragraph, a third paragraph, and then hopefully at the end, you see how all the different pieces connect. This chapter on Likutei Moran was said on a Friday night by Rabbi Nizal, and it was based on the fact that he had a guest in his house that was talking to him about the machlekes that was going on at that time, about a tremendous controversy and conflict that was going on in Israel about tzedakah monies, about monies for charity that were being raised outside of the land of Eretz Yisrael and sent to Israel. And there was a conflict among the tzaddikim in Israel as to how this should be distributed. And people were saying that the conflict, one of the reasons for the conflict, was based on a matter of kavod. It was a matter of certain people wanted that they should be the ones giving out the monies. They wanted the honor, they wanted the everything that goes with that. And they weren't so much really looking at the issue of what's the best way to do this. What would really be the right way, the best way to do this. And coming off that conversation, Rabbi Nizal gave this shir on this chapter, which you're going to see is so deep and so beautiful and explains such a wide panorama of things, and also explains the reason for this situation. Why conflict? Why in Israel versus Chutz Loretz? Why specifically related to Tztakas, etc., etc. Rabbi Nizal says, Da, you should know, Ki yesh meichen shel Eretz Yisrael, v'yesh meichen shel Chutz Loretz. There is a concept of meichen of Eretz Yisrael, and there is a concept of meichen of Chutz Loretz. The word meichen means mind, the mind, or the wisdom, or the seichel. There is a concept of a seichel of Eretz Yisrael, and a seichel of Chutz Loretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'gam ha-meichen shel Chutz Loretz he-mekablim v'yoinkim gam kein me-ha-meichen shel Eretz Yisrael. And even the wisdom and the mind of outside of Eretz Yisrael, it also draws from the mind in Eretz Yisrael, from the seichel inside of Eretz Yisrael. Ki ikor ha-moyach v'ha-chochmo hi be-Eretz Yisrael. Because the main center of wisdom, of seichel, of brains, is only in Eretz Yisrael. Kemoi Shom Razal, as the Medrash says, Ein chochmo kechochmas Eretz Yisrael, that there is no wisdom in the entire world that compares to the wisdom in Eretz Yisrael. So if there is any wisdom to be found outside of Eretz Yisrael, we know that it is connected to and draws from the wisdom of Eretz Yisrael. V'chol echot mi Yisrael yesh lo chelek be'Eretz Yisrael. Each and every single Jew has a part in Eretz Yisrael. Just as we say each and every single Jew has a letter in the Torah, Yesh Shishim Ribu Yoseis LaTorah, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and each and every single Jew has a part in the Torah, so too each and every single Jew has a part in Eretz Yisrael. V'chol echod kefi chelkoi sheyesh lo be'eretz Yisrael, and each and every single Jew, according to the type of portion that he has in Eretz Yisrael, kein hu mekabel v'yoinek mehamoichen shel Eretz Yisrael. That's what determines to what degree, and in what amount, and in what kind of quality he draws from the seichel of Eretz Yisrael. According to what part of Eretz Yisrael is connected with him, is related to him, is associated with him, that's what determines his level of seichel, how much seichel wisdom he's able to draw from Eretz Yisrael. Nimtza, so we see from this, shekol ha-moichin heim b'chinas moichin shel Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, if we want, we could say that all the brains of the entire world is actually Meichen of Eretz Yisrael. Ki kula mekabla misham, because that's the source, that's the origin, and any brains, any wisdom that exists outside of Eretz Yisrael, we said, is connected to and draws from the wisdom inside of Eretz Yisrael. Kishom Eretz Yisrael Iker Hamoyach VaChochma, because there in Eretz Yisrael is the main place of a brain and of wisdom. Avol, however, Afal Pikein, even though that's the case, Yesh Moichin Shel Chutz Loretz. There is a Moichin of Chutz Loretz also. There is a concept of a wisdom, a seichel of outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Nezal says, but still, even though the main place of chachma and wisdom and knowledge and mind and brains is in Eretz Yisrael, there still is a concept of a moichin of chutz loretz. There is a concept of a brain and a wisdom of outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh na'aseh al yidei pegam ha'kovoid chas v'sholom. How does it come about that there should be this second type of wisdom, this lower type of wisdom, this lower type of brain that's called the brain of Chutz Loretz? The answer is, this comes about through a pegam in kovoid, through a defect or a deficiency in the kovoid of Hashem, in the honor of Hashem. Shemi shepoigem chas v'sholem b'kovod Hashem yisborach, because any individual, any person, who is poigem in the kavod of Hashem, he causes some kind of a negative item, some kind of a disgrace or a disrespect to the kavod of Hashem, to the honor of Hashem. Al yidei pegam hakavod shel Hashem yisborach, ein yecholin lekabel velinak me'amoichin shel Eretz Yisrael. This pegam, this defect in the kavod of Hashem, blocks that person from being able to draw seichel and wisdom from the moichin of Eretz Yisrael. Ukefi ha-pegam she-poigem b'kovod Hashem Yisborach, and according to what degree the person has caused a pegam in the honor of Hashem, according to what degree this person has shown a disrespect to Hashem, kemoi kein eino yochoy lekabel velinak me-hamoichin shel Eretz Yisrael. In ratio to that, in proportion to that, that person becomes blocked and prevented from being able to draw from the Meichen of Eretz Yisrael, from the Seichel of Eretz Yisrael. V'azai nisharin ha-Meichen bebechinas Meichen shel Chutz Loretz Mamish. And when this happens, this person's mind, this person's brain, no longer has a status of Meichen of Eretz Yisrael. This person's brain receives this lower level status called Meichen of Chutz Loretz, a brain of outside of Eretz Yisrael. U'kishehameichen heim b'chinas Meichen shel Chutz Loretz. And when a person's mind, when a person's level of wisdom is called Meichen shel Chutz Loretz, azai ein yecholin lahashvois daiton yachad. How do we distinguish, how do we differentiate when we deal with people in looking at a person, how do I tell whether this person's brain is a Meichen of Eretz Yisrael or a Meichen of Chutz Laretz? The answer is, Rabbi Nizal says, you'll be able to detect a Meichen of Chutz Laretz by the fact that you can't come to terms with this person. This person is not an agreeable person. You can't get him to agree on anything. He'll always argue. He's always arguing. There's a lack of shalom there. V'ze b'chinas ha-machlekes sheyesh ba'olam. Rabbi Nizal says, this is the concept of machlekes that exists in the world, where people don't see eye to eye on certain issues. People can't seem to agree. This one says, I think it should be done this way, and this one says, I think it should be that way. This one says democracy, this one says lahavdil communism. This one says this one, each one, and not being able to sit down at a table and talk it out and come to some kind of a mutual agreement. Because, Rabbi Nizal says, this is one of the properties of this Meichen of Chutz Loretz. Can't come to an agreement. Can't agree on anything. Can't see eye to eye. Period. Now Rabbi Nizal says, Avol, however, according to this, it would seem logical that in the land of Eretz Yisrael, there should not be any machlekes at all. There shouldn't be any disagreement at all whatsoever in the land of Eretz Yisrael. If you're telling me that the definition of Meichen of Eretz Yisrael versus Meichen of Chutz Laretz, the difference between them is in this item specifically, it would seem logical that in Eretz Yisrael there should not be any disagreement. Ube'emes, whereas in fact, onuroyim shegam Eretz Yisrael yesh machlokes, we see that in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's loaded with conflict, with controversy, with people not being able to come to any agreement, with split governments, and with every single type of machlekes imaginable. Why is it? If Rabbi Nizal has just established in this first paragraph that there's a concept of Meichen of Eretz Yisrael and there's a Meichen of Chutz Laretz, and the Meichen of Eretz Yisrael is because of the fact that Hashem himself has said that this land of Eretz Yisrael is the center of wisdom in the world. It's the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was the center of all wisdom. The Gemara says, Kol mi sheyesh bo ideyo ki'ilu nivne Beis HaMikdash, that any person who's intelligent, it's as if his Beis HaMikdash was already built. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the symbol of Sechel, of intellect, of true wisdom. And the Beis HaMikdash is the holiest place in Eretz Yisrael. That's where Eretz Yisrael draws its Kiddusha from, its holiness from. So if that's the case, Eretz Yisrael is the main center of Chochmah, of wisdom, of knowledge. Versus outside of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nizal says, when a person is poigem in the kovod of Hashem, when a person shows disrespect to Hashem, what happens? The person gets chased out of Eretz Yisrael. Very simple. The pasuk says, Lochein golo ami mibli das. Hashem says, I took my nation and I sent them out into golos, into exile, mibli das, because they were lacking in sechel. So we see the concept of being evicted from Eretz Yisrael is a concept of being evicted from Sechel, separated from this main center of pure Sechel. Rabbi Nizal says there is Sechel out of Eretz Yisrael, but it's a lower level of Sechel. It's called Meichen Shel Chutz Loretz. And Rabbi Nizal says the difference between the two is that in the Meichen of Eretz Yisrael, you see how people are able to be agreeable to things. People are able to work things out, to come to mutual agreements, and to build in that way. Versus in Chutz Loretz, this Meichen of Chutz Loretz, as Rabbi Nizal calls it, is a type of mind where you see this person, no matter what you say, he's going to always see the opposite. You see red, he sees black. You see constantly, always the opposite, period, this kind of thing. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to start explaining. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ach da, you should know, ki elu ha-meichen shel chutz loretz, shena soide pegam ha-kovoy kanal, these meichen of chutz loretz, which are created through this disrespect, through this pegam in the kavod, hey mevakshim liatzmon tikon. these Meichen seek for themselves a tikkun. They seek to improve themselves. They're looking to fix themselves up. They realize, these Meichen of Chutzlar, it's this Seichel of Chutzlar, it's, if we can picture it as being a person or somebody, it realizes that it's not good, it's missing something, and it looks to correct what it's missing. V'hatikun shalelo ha-Meichen shel Chutzlaretz. The tikkun for these meichen of chutz laretz who be'ez sheshayfeya noyam ho'elyoim. The tikkun for these meichen of chutz laretz comes about at a time when there is a flow of the noyam ho'elyoim. Noyam means pleasantness. Elyoim means heavenly. When there is a flow of a heavenly pleasantness, it's called noyam ho'elyoim. That's when these Meichen of Chutz Loretz can get fixed up, can get corrected. Shaydeze nase hisgalos hakovoid. When there is this flow, this shefa of the Noyam Ho'elyoin, then there is a revelation of the kovoid of Hashem. The honor of Hashem is revealed in its true beauty and glory. Oz huzman tikunam shalelo ha-meichen shel chutz loretz. And that's the proper time for these meichen of chutz loretz to get fixed up. Why? Rabbi Nazal says, ki kovoid hu tikun ha-olam. Because kovoid, honor, respect, is the tikkun for the whole world. The main thing that fixes up, that keeps the world going, and that fixes up whatever needs fixing in the world, is kavod, respect, honor. Ki kol ha'olam nivra bishvil ha'kavod, because the Torah tells us that Hashem created the whole world because of respect, because of kavod. The Gemara in Pirkei Avos quotes a pasuk. Hashem says, "Nishaya lechvoidi berosiv yitzartiv af asisiv." Hashem says, all of this stuff that you see around you, everything in creation, you want to know why it was made? Lechvoidi, for my kavod, Hashem says. Hainu bishvil kavod Hashem yisporah. The purpose of the whole bria was the kavod of Hashem. Ein melech b'loyam, as we speak about it, and that you can't have a king without a nation, and malchus is kavod. Those two are synonymous. Boruch Shem kavod malchusoy. Kavod malchusoy. Kavod and malchus are synonymous. So that was the main purpose for Hashem creating the world. Now Rabbi Nazal explains, ki yesh kavod proti l'chol maimar u'maimar shel ha'asora ma'moroi shebohem nivro ha'olam. We know that when Hashem created the world, He created the world using 10 statements. 10 times Vayomer. Actually 9, plus the first sentence in the Torah, Bereishis, is the 10th one. It's a hidden Maimar. Hashem created the world with these 10 statements, and Rabbein Azal says, each and every single one of these statements has its own specific respect that it represents. It represents a unique aspect of the kavod of Hashem, of the respect for Hashem. Asher bishvil oisoy hakavod hoyozeh ha-maimar. That for that unique respect is why Hashem made that statement. Hashem said that vayomer because of this specific kavod. She'al yodoi nivro chelik pleini mehabriya. That through this statement was created 10% of the entire world, of the entire creation. If we picture this as a pie, cutting up the pie into 10 pieces, the world was created in 10 statements. These 10 statements, each and every, the purpose for the creation of the world was the kavod of Hashem, respect for Hashem. So Rabbein Azal says, the question is, if it's respect for Hashem, so then make one statement. Why didn't Hashem make one big statement that would create the whole world, and that statement would represent the whole kavod of Hashem? Rabbein Azal says, the fact that Hashem didn't do it that way shows that there are 10 distinct, 10 separate aspects of the kavod of Hashem. And each one of them, because they're different from the other ones, it required its own specific statement of creation for itself. And that statement of creation created a section of the world. That section of the world was created to correspond to one-tenth of the Kavod of Hashem, one major area within the Kavod of Hashem for which that statement was made, from which that Bria took place. Rabbein Azal says, Nimtza, we see from this, Shekol Maimar Umaimar Yeshloi Kavod Miyuchad, that each and every individual one of these 10 statements has its own private kavod, its own unique kavod, respect. Shebishvil zeh hakavod hoya oisei hamaymar. It's because of that specific aspect of respect for Hashem that that statement of creation was made. Ki zeh hamaymar, because this statement, let's say we're talking about statement number one of the 10 statements. Rabbein Azal says, Ki zeh hamaymar, this statement number one, Sheboi nivro chelik pleine mehabriya, that from this statement was created part one, section one of the whole creation, Hoya b'shvil kavod zeh, was because of kavod number one, was because of one specific type of kavod for Hashem. Kidei shiagia kavod zeh l'Hashem yisborach, so that Hashem should be able to get this specific type of kavod from this portion of the creation. Let's take an example. I'm not saying that this is the split up at all. I'm just giving an example. Let's say that the type of respect that Hashem gets from animals doesn't compare at all. Although animals daven to Hashem and they acknowledge Hashem in certain ways, still, the type of respect that Hashem gets from the animals is different from the type of respect that He gets from human beings. So therefore, the Torah tells us in the beginning of creation that Hashem made a certain statement, and from that statement were created all the animals. Vayemer likim, there should be shrotzim and this and that and everything. That statement was used to create that portion of the Bria, the animals, that the whole animal kingdom, from which Hashem would get a certain specific type of kavod, which is different from the type of kavod that came from the next statement in creation, the statement Naase Odom, Vayemer Likim, Naase Odom Etzalmeinu, the statement creating man, from which Hashem would get a completely different type of kavod. V'chein maimar achar, and so too the next statement, Sheboi nivro chelik acha mi'abriya, that from that statement was created a different piece of the pie, a different section of the creation. Hoye b'shvil kovoid achar, and it was for a different type of kovoid. Shiagia oisei ha-kovoid l'Hashem yisborach, that second type of kovoid should be given to Hashem. V'chein kol ha-ma'amorois kulom hoye rak b'shvil kvoid l'Hashem yisborach. Rabbein Azal says, the fact is that all of these 10 statements of creation were made for the kavod of Hashem, so that from these statements would be created objects that would give respect to Hashem. Asher b'shvil zeh nivro ha'olam kanal, that was the underlying theme and purpose for the whole creation of the world. Period. Paragraph 2. Next. Rabbein Azal says now, V'alkein, and therefore, based on what we just said, Kishe'echod mi'Yisrael zoichel lirois bi'atzmoi, Eze hizgalus hakovoid, when any Yid is zoiche, is privileged to see in himself a revelation of kovoid, he sees a respect shown to himself, either because he's a father of children, and the Torah commands his children to respect him. So as children to a father, they're giving him respect. Or he's a rabbi of a class, or he's a boss of a company, he's a president of a company, or whatever, or he's a landlord of a building. He owns the whole building, and as such, all the people that are renting apartments in that building have a certain type of respect for him. Rabbein Azal says, Kishe'echot mi'Yisroel, zoiche lirois ba'atzmoi, eze hizgalus ha'kovoi, whenever any Yid is zoiche to see in himself a revelation of kovoid, or a manifestation of respect, hainu, kishiyesh loy ezek avoid, when there is a respect being shown to him, being given to him, azai hu tzorich leida me eze maimar nesava ze hakovoid. That yid has to know from which one of these 10 statements of creation that kovoid came from. We said that with each one of these 10 statements, Hashem created the world, and the whole purpose of the world was the kovoid of Hashem, and the kovoid of Hashem is to be found in every single section of the Bria. When a yid is being shown kovoid, he has to be able to look at that kovoid and identify it. Be able to look, what number, what's the social security number of that kovoid? What code does it have on it? I should be able to relate it to a specific one of the 10 statements of Maisa Bereishis. She'al yodoi nivro chelek mi'abriya kanal, that through this specific statement with which this kovoid is associated with, was created a certain section of the whole Bria. Rabbi Nazal says, "Ubevadai lav kol odom zeichalase," and certainly not every Jew, not every Yid is on a level to be able to figure this out, to be able to know when a person's showing him respect, which one of the 10 statements of creation is that respect plugged into. Lahargish biatzmoi hisgalus kvoid Hashem yisborach. Not every single Yid is on a level to be able to feel within himself the kovoid of Hashem, the respect Hashem, meaning that most people, when they are shown respect, the respect stops there. In other words, his kids give him respect, they treat him with, you know, like they look up to him, and he accepts it, period. Whereas Rabbeinu is all saying, a yid is not allowed to be that way. Hashem says, listen to me, buddy. The whole reason why I created this whole world was lichvoidi, for my kavod. Any Jew who takes to himself any kavod, any respect, he accepts it for himself and he puts it in his pocket, and then he zippers up his pocket, he doesn't let that kavod out, he's taking away, chas v'shalom, something that belongs to Hashem, something that was the whole underlying purpose of creation. Therefore, Rabbein is all saying, each and every one of us is obligated, whenever any respect is being shown to us, to see to it that we should simply act as a vehicle, as a pipe, for that respect to be funneled to Hashem. Who's a perfect example of this? Avraham Avinu. We know that there's no better example of a case where somebody has respect for somebody else than a guest coming into somebody's house. If a person is a balabayis in a house, I own this house, and I own everything here, and I worked for the money to buy the house or to rent the house, and to fill up the refrigerator with food, and to pay for the heating bills and the lighting bills and everything in this apartment, and somebody comes into my house, and he's eating my food and using my lights and my heat, this, that, it's only logical that that person should show respect to me, should show respect to the balabayis. This is a kovoy that's given from the oireach, from the guest to the balabayis. The Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu, who was one of the richest people alive at the time, we're not talking about some guy that had a little three-room apartment. We're talking about multi-millionaire, very, very rich. And Avraham Avinu had a house designed in such a way where guests could come from all sides, constantly had people coming in, all types of people. And the Medrash says a person came into his house, they had the bed. Usually when you're a guest in somebody's house, there's no way in the world it could compare to home. It's not like my own bed at home, and it's not like my own cholent at home, and it's not like my own lights at home. The Medrash says any person that stayed in Avraham Avinu's house would be more than happy to throw out the beds they had at home and to bring home the beds he had at Avraham Avinu's house. And the food he had at home. In other words, there was no comparison. This was the best of the best in Hachnosas Erchim. So the Medrash says when a person would finish eating a meal at Avraham Avinu's house and the person couldn't find words to say, to show respect to Avraham Avinu, to show thanks. One thing is thanks, And the other thing is a respect. I feel if you did something for me like this, I owe you a certain measure of kavod. So the person would try to say that from Avinu, like, what could I possibly do to show my respect for you, to show my gratitude, appreciation for this unbelievable experience that you gave me? Avram Avinu would say, fat zero, you got the wrong person. You're misdirecting your feeling. None of this here is mine. In other words, you got the wrong party. Every single thing you saw here, and every single thing you ate here, and every single thing you enjoyed here, was as much mine as it is yours. You and I are both guests of Hashem. We're all here temporary, just none of us. You see any people hanging around after 120 years or after 400, whatever the length of time was then? None of us are balabatim here. None of us is a boss here. None of us is a landlord here. The only one who owns anything in this world is Hashem. Everybody else is simply a baal pikodoin. Hashem puts this into our hands for 10 years, 20 years, 120 years that he lets you hold on to it. And then Hashem says, time's up, buddy. Sayonara, goodbye. You leave, and the house stays, and the food stays, and the person dies, chas v'shalom. And Avraham Avinu would start talking like this, and he was able to be makarav people. He was able to show the people that any kavod that you want to give me, you're misdirecting it. It belongs only to Hashem. This is a perfect example of a tzaddik who understood the purpose of the Brie. He understood why Hashem created all of this, and he understood that if Hashem blessed him with any wealth or any money or anything from which he could get any respect from it, it's usur for him to take that to himself. It's forbidden for him to benefit from that. He has to simply play hot potato. You throw the cover to me, zap, right away. I don't want to hold on to it for a second. Boom! Throw it right away to Hashem. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal's talking about here. Rabbeinu Zal says that this is what a person's supposed to do. A person's supposed to be able to see to it that when any kavod comes to him, he should know how it corresponds to the Asura Mamorais, and he should see to it that kavod should be directed to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, but most people are not on a level to be able to do this. Avol Eilu Shehem Behechlo Demalko, but those tzaddikim, those great people who are in the palace of Hashem, this is one of the nicknames that's given in the Zohar Kodesh and other places to the closest people to Hashem. They're called those that live in the castle, in the palace. But those that are in the palace of the king, meaning those that are the closest to Hashem, kishyesh lohem ezek avoid, when they receive any type of respect, azai ein loikhen liatzmon klal min hakovoid, they don't accept to themselves at all one iota of that kovoid. They don't take it personally at all. If somebody's showing me respect because I have knowledge, or because I have money, or because I have big muscles, it's not my knowledge, it's not my money, it's not my muscles. Everything that I have belongs to Hashem. Anything that I have has been given to me by Hashem. So it's babyish, it's silly. Somebody, it's like bowing down to the sun, that kind of thing. Person's going to give the sun respect because the sun gives light to the world. Where does the sun gets the light from itself? He's got it in his pockets. Who gives the sun the light to shine? Hashem. So a person giving the bowing, worshipping the sun, that's the same concept of a yid accepting kavod onto himself, taking the kavod personally, feeling that he's permitted to take any kavod to himself. Rak, what do these tzaddikim do? Heimalin kol hakavod l'Hashem Yisporach. They ship up all of this kavod, any respect that's shown to them by anybody, for whatever reason, they ship it up to Hashem, they elevate it to Hashem, kidei sheyizgadel v'yisale kavod Yisporach, so that the kavod of Hashem should become enlarged, increased, and heightened. Why? Kidei sheyihye al yidei zeh, Tikkun ha'olam kanal, so that through this act of somebody trying to give me respect, and rather than me tasting from that at all or taking any of that to myself, I give it to Hashem, that's part of being misaki in the world. That literally brings a tikkun to the world. Why? Since the whole purpose of the creation of the world was lichvoidi, was for the kavod of Hashem. Vehein mevina mehakavod. These tzaddikim, they are able to understand by analyzing this respect that's being shown to them. Me'ezem maimar nishavazah kavod. Which one of the 10 statements of creation this kavod that's being shown to them now corresponds to? Asher b'shvil zeh hakavod hoya oisa hamaymar, that because of this type of respect, Hashem made this statement, she'al yodoy nivro chelik me'abriya kanal, through which was created this section of the world. Period. Rabbeinu Zal says now, to sum up what we've said till now, zeh b'chinas, this is what's written in the pasuk in Tehillim, uvehei choloi kuloi oimer kavod. We say this on Friday night, right before the Chadoidi. Uvehei choloi kuloi oimer kavod. Meaning, hainu, this means, she'etzel eilu shehem beheichlo demalka, by those tzaddikim who are so close to Hashem that we refer to them as the ones that live inside the palace of Hashem. They are beheichlo demalka. They live in the heichal of Hashem. Hakovoid hu kuloi oimer. Uvehei choloi? Kulay Oimer. These people that live in the Heichal, any kavod that's given to them is Kulay Oimer. They only relate it to the Asura Ma'amorois, to these statements. Hainu, Kulay Maimar. Ki hakavod sheyesh lahem, these tzaddikim, any kavod that they possess, hu kuloi rak bishvil hamaymar, is only, they understand, that it's only because of this statement, this one of the 10 statements, shenishave bishvil zeh hakavod, this statement was made because of this particular type of kavod, asher al yodoy nivro chelek me'abriya kanal, through this statement was created this section, this portion of the whole Bria, period.
Somebody who's a host speaks like this to a guest, or somebody who's a tzaddik and speaks like this to a talmud, isn't he in a sense misdirecting him? Because he says, okay, that's the way, I'll act. If this is my house, I'll do whatever I want here. And if you're just a servant of Hashem, we're not going to have any respect for you. How this, you know?
The answer is that obligation is on the part of the guest, or on the part of the child for the father, or the student for the Rebbe. Each and every single group of two people that interact in this world, that deal with each other, each one has to know what their obligation is. The tzaddik is supposed to look at this. When somebody shows a tzaddik respect, he looks and laughs. He looks at this person and says, this person's giving me respect. This person doesn't know that I consider myself nobody, zero. I consider myself much less than he considers himself. He thinks he's 10 years old and he's a little kid. I feel like much more of a little kid than he does. He can't even imagine it. That's the anivus that these tzaddikim have, and that's their feeling of respect towards Hashem. That's the way they're supposed to feel, and that's the way, period. On the other hand, the Talmud, or the guest, or the child, has to know that what does Hashem demand? In other words, how do I show kavod to Hashem? Do I show it by saying I'm not going to show respect to my father, to my Rebbe, or to the host? I'm going to give it just to Hashem? The answer is Hashem says that if you want to show respect to me, do it by showing respect to your parents, to your Rebbe, to this one, to your elders, all of these things. This is what Hashem calls the kavod of Hashem. Just like we said that who is the epitome? We once said this in a shir, and this to me was such a beautiful chiddush from the Mayana Shel Torah, I think it's brought. That the Torah tells us that each and every single Jew has an obligation, a duty, to write a Sefer Torah for himself. One of the 613 commandments in the Torah is that a Jew is supposed to write a whole Sefer Torah for himself. Or if he doesn't know how to write, to commission somebody, to pay somebody $20,000 that it costs today to write a Sefer Torah for you, period. This is a mitzvah in the Torah. Not everybody is able to do it financially or other reasons for you, but this is one of the commandments, period. In the Chumash it's written that the king has an obligation. He was obligated to have 2 Sefer Torahs. What does that mean? One for his right hand, one for his left hand? One for his right eye and one for his left eye? Can he read 2 Torahs? What's the reason for this? What's the concept here? And the Torah says why. One, he's supposed to keep with him in his palace, and one, he's supposed to have with him whenever he travels outside, whenever he goes out to see the people, etc., to have that second Torah. The question is, what's the big deal in using the same Sefer Torah for both purposes? Why does the Torah make an issue of a king, specifically, having two Bibles, two Torahs? What does that mean? The Mefarshim explain, what is the king the symbol of? The king is the greatest symbol of respect, kavod. Proof is that when it comes to kibud avayim, or even when it comes to kavod rabbi, a parent is allowed to say, listen, you don't have to stand up for me. Although the Torah says there's a mitzvah for a child to stand up when the parent walks in, a parent is allowed to say, I don't want you to, you don't have to. A Rebbe, if a child does something against a parent can say, if he wants, I forgive you. So too with a Rebbe. The Torah says, Melech shemochal al kvoidoi, ein kvoidoi mochal. If a king, if somebody shows disrespect to the king is not allowed to say, forgive you, because that's how super, super strict is the kavod of a king. So if we want to know what makes a king different from all the rest of the Yidden, it's this issue of kavod. The question is, how could you say that? How could you possibly say that? What about the king? Isn't he supposed to have respect for Hashem? King, big shot king. So what? He's also a nobody on one hand. Because factually, who's his king? His king is Hashem. Hashem is called Melech Malchi Amlochim. The answer is, this is why the Torah tells us that a king had an obligation to have two Sefer Torahs. This means that when it comes to dealing with respect, the king had to know to be able to play two sides of the game, two sides of the seesaw. To the people, when he went out to the people, he had one set of rules, one Sefer Torah. To them, he had to go dressed. A king had to have his face washed every day, even on Yom Kippur, wash his face. He should look perfect, so people should have the greatest degree of respect for him. He should never look schleppy at all, fashluffen at all. He should look like a king. They should fear him and respect him. And he had to have a second set of rules in his own house. In his own house, when he was by himself, what was he? Mr. Nobody, Mr. Nothing, period. This is the concept of melech, kavoid. Anybody who has kavoid has to know that he has to be able to play two sides of the game at the same time. On one hand, he has to act like a boss to his kids. He has to act like a boss to his talmidim. When a guest comes into his house, he has to act like a host. He can't say, go to the refrigerator, take whatever you want. There are laws. The Torah says there are certain standards of how human beings are supposed to act, period. At the same time, to himself, inside of himself, he's got a different Torah. Whether he's got guests in his house, or whether he's got 50 children, or 5,000 Talmidim, and all of them are bowing down to him, respect to him, inside of himself, he has to still feel like a nobody, nothing. Any respect that they're showing to me, it's not my respect. It's respect based on the fact that Hashem created me, and Hashem made me the parent and him the kindler. What if tomorrow morning there were an announcement from Shemayim, and Hashem would say, we decided to make a switch? Rather than kabe des sovicha vesimecha, it's kabe des yaldecha v'yaldesecha. Would I care less? Would it make any difference to me? The answer is definitely not. Zero. As good an idea as I think it is for the child to show respect to the parent, I think it would be just, if Hashem said it should be just the opposite, no problem at all. I think it's a great idea, no problem, period. That's the attitude that a Yid is supposed to have. That's the way he's supposed to feel. It's not that he's telling me I have to show respect to him because he's my Rebbe or he's my parent. He needs your respect like a lachen cup. He spits on your respect. He doesn't need it for anything. The only reason why he's demanding respect is because Hashem said so. Hashem said, the one that's teaching you Torah, you have to look at him a certain way. You have to sit a certain way in his presence. You have to talk a certain way, period. If Hashem didn't say it, you think anybody would dream of looking for respect, anything that resembles that? That's the attitude that Hashem is looking for here.
established that what a Jew has to do is when honor is coming to him, he has to elevate it to God through different ways, speech, action, so that people should be a revelation
of
godliness in the world. Exactly. They're teaching, I think it's in the Avot or the Gemara, that it should be Boreach, in that way, he should run from honor. So how is he supposed to be with people and then elevate their consciousness through this act if he has to be running?
Rabbi Nazal, in the opening words of Torah Vov, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, says, "Ki tzorich kol odom lema'it b'chvoid atzmoi, ulaharbois b'chvoid hamokoyim." Each and every single Jew has a responsibility to decrease his own kavod, to be looking for as little kavod as possible for himself, and as much kavod as possible for Hashem. And Rabbi Nazal explains over there that you should know this is the way Hashem designed the world. Anybody that goes chasing after kavod, the kavod runs away from him. Where does it go? To the garbage can. It goes to the klipa, to tuma. It goes to the wrong places. Anybody that runs away from kavod, the nature of kavod is that it chases after such a person. So if a person wants to be a religious Jew, and he wants to see to it that a lot of kavod should go to Hashem, he should know the way to do it is not buy yourself a telescope and binoculars and go out looking for kavod, and when you see it, go running towards it, but on the contrary, buy yourself a telescope and binoculars, and whenever you see kavod, you go the other way. You run the other way. Run away from it. And you'll see that if you really feel that inside of yourself, you're going to see that automatically the kavod is going to chase after you. And not just it's going to chase after you, but it's going to be a type of kavod that's going to go to Hashem. It's not going to be a type of kavod that comes to you and goes into your pocket and stays there. It's going to be this quality of kavod that doesn't stay with you. It's a kavod where you're lifted up from it and Hashem is lifted up from it. Just like in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, you see the brachos that Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu. Vavorcho, mevorachecho, mekalilcho, o'er, all of those things where Hashem said, anybody that's going to give anything to you, do anything for you, it's going to be like they're doing it for me. And anybody that's going to hurt you, it's going to be like they're hurting me. This kind of concept. And Rabbi Nazal there describes that there are two types of kavod. There's kavod malachim and kavod elikim. Any person that goes chasing after kavod, the type of, if they do get any kavod, it's kavod malachim. It's called a lower level kavod, a kavod of kings, which the pasuk says, kavod malachim chakor dovor. People are always questioning it and challenging, who is this big shot? Like, why do we have to give him any respect? People are always complaining, birching about it. Whereas a person who's zeche to kavod elikim, that's a type of kavod that people can't question like. They don't understand it, they don't know why, but somehow this person deserves and warrants and justifies some type of a heavenly kavod. And this person himself doesn't taste from it at all whatsoever. He directs it only to Hashem.
And he said today, Moshe's from this noise and then argues, and today there's all peace.
We didn't finish this chapter. We're just getting started. We're laying the groundwork. Any questions like that, when we finish, you'll see that those questions have been addressed.
Question on touch. In the first paragraph, why does the Rebbeinu Zal emphasize, it says, Baz Nisharon Lechem, Yes, Lechem Shachus Aretz Mamsh.
Right.
Use this word Mamsh. What's the significance of that?
The answer is that what you're saying, I definitely go for. Meaning, whenever Rebbeinu Zal uses a word like Mamsh or Vohoikar, you better underline that. In other words, he's saying something very specific. Here it seems what he's saying is, as much as I'm telling you, I'm giving you the impression up till now, that all of this Meichen and Chochmah originates from Eretz Yisrael, it's all Eretz Yisrael, you should know that the minute this happens, the minute there's a Pigam in Kavoy, this Meichen takes on a new property completely. It becomes a brand new item. It becomes Meichen Chutz La'aretz Mamish. It's as if it had just about nothing whatsoever to do with Eretz Yisrael. It becomes cut off, separated to itself, etc., etc.
The other question, Taish, is And then later on he talks about also that, what do they mean they're referring to the Moichim?
Yes, yes.
Before it's like these people can't people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Here it's talking about like Moichim are individuals and they can't get along.
The answer is both are true. We're talking about this in a theoretical phase. We're talking about this in theory, that there is this Moichim, there is this concept of wisdom in Seichel, and the Seichel of Eretz Yisrael is a peaceful Seichel versus the Seichel of Chutz Laretz, which is a Seichel that's filled with conflict. What's one of the best, most perfect examples of this? Talmud Yerushalmi versus Talmud Bavli. We're going to see soon. That's the perfect example. Where we're not talking about a person, we're talking about a Gemara, a set of Gemaras. There are two sets of Talmud that the Jewish nation possesses. There was a Talmud that was written in Palestine, as it was known at that time, in Eretz Yisrael, by the Yerushalmi rabbis, by the rabbis of the land of Israel. And there is the Gemara that most of us are familiar with today that's called the Talmud Bavli, the set of Shas that was written outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's one of the most obvious differences between these two sets of Shas? Now, many people, most big rabbis like Rebbe Zal, the big tzaddikim, they acquired a perfect, thorough knowledge in both sets of Shas. Now, these two sets of Shas, I'd say, are about 60 to 70% identical, maybe more. I don't know them both well enough maybe to judge, but from what I've heard, it's about that kind of ratio. There is like 30% or whatever it is, where they have different discussions completely. Certain items that are discussed in Talmud Bavli that aren't mentioned in Yerushalmi and vice versa. The difference in presentation, though, is that in Talmud Bavli, every two lines, there's another argument. There's another, this one says, Potter, Chayev, Osir, Mutter, Kosher, Posel, Tomei, Tohor, Yes, Neder, No Neder, Yes, Nozir, No Nozir. All the constant controversy. Whereas the Talmud Yerushalmi is mostly almost like a Shulchan Aruch. It's just about all statement of fact. No conflict, no controversy, no disagreement. It seems as if just about every statement that was made there, everybody was agreeable to. There was no conflict, period. That's this concept of Moichin of Eretz Yisrael versus Moichin of Chutz Laretz. It manifests itself, one of the manifestations of this is in the people. That in the people themselves, when they apply their seichel, their brains, we see it showing itself in this manner. But you can bet also that this meichen manifests itself in other ways also. We'll learn more about this. We'll see what the other ways are. One example is the people.
And today, people should learn Talmud Yerushalmi because that's from Eretz Yisrael.
When we finish this Torah, you're going to know more about that. You'll see.
Two questions. Why would Hashem create the Goyim if he knows that they're going to be pictured?
Second question.
Why in the story with the king, he has 72 the kingdom to write some.
Is that for now? Is that on this subject that we're learning about now or not?
Why does he need 72?
Why did he pick that number? Because in the Sanhedrin there were 71 judges plus Hashem, 72. So he wanted to make it like a Sanhedrin. The answer to your first question is, why did Hashem create Goyim this and that if he knew that they were going to be bad? The answer is because if there were no such thing as darkness, would we be able to know what light is? If I put on a light, if I take a big, big bright light and I shine it in the middle of the day, does it look like, can you see it at all? Nothing. It's nothing. The only way you can recognize light is if there's darkness and there's light and you put them together, then you can see how bright the light is, right? So too, lahavdil, with tzaddikim and rishonim. The only way we get to know what the word tzaddik means is if there's rishonim and said there's good people and bad people, then you can see that compared to this, this is real good. You understand? That's one of the reasons. There's a lot of other reasons. We're just getting started. This was all introductory material. This next The next paragraph, the next few paragraphs, we got another page or so, you're going to see is where Rabbeinu Zal is going to start really explaining, if that's the case, then what is going on? Why in Chutz La'aretz is it? Why and what? And how do we fix all of this? How do we help all of this? Baruch Hashem. Interesting point. Rabbeinu Zal discussed Meichin, and he said that the Meichin are connected to the Kavod. Period. That the Meichin, that when do you get, how do you get Meichin of Chutz La'aretz? When there's a Pigam in Kavod, that's how you get Meichin of Chutz La'aretz. How, what, when, where? The answer is, there are, in this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal was mentioning, he mentions in a lot of other Torahs, there are many, many psukim that show that Kavod and Chachma are one and the same. Kavod, Chachomim, Yinchalu. Who are the ones that inherit Kavod? What's the Iker Kavod? Kavod HaTorah. The Kavod that's given to Chachma. These two are identical. In fact, the word Kavod itself, the Meforshim tell us, is Torah. The Chof Beis is the 22 letters of the Torah. The Vav and Dalet represent the Aseres Hadibrois, or the 10 Madregas of Nevuah, all of those things that represent Seichel, Meichin, Torah, all of these things. It's interesting, in other words, unless you know these things from other chapters, like the Rabbeinu Zal discusses this, or Likutei Halachos, yeah, what's the connection? And this all ties in again. This is all based on Torah Aleph and Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal presented the Hakdama, that the Hakdama to religion, religion is two things, Chachma and Malchus, Torah and Tefillah, the sun and the moon, the Rebbe and the Talmud. We're talking about Meichin. What is Meichin? Meichin is Kavod. Meichin is Malchus. The sun depends on the moon depends on the sun. That's what all of this is. If you know that as an introduction, you put on those kind of glasses and you look at the whole thing, you see how it all fits. Really fits. Baruch Hashem.